Thanks for tuning in to Flight Test Podcast episode 29. Today, we talk about flight tests for schools, a future flight test destination location, and we'll also be giving an exclusive preview to the new streamlined flight test website redesign, which should be landing in the next couple weeks. Also regarding Flight Fest, we do talk about it here in the podcast, but I just want to give a quick preview. We are going to be launching a pre-registration that is separate from the Kickstarter. So if you didn't get through in the Kickstarter but would still like to pre-register for Flight Fest, you can go to the show notes for this episode and click on that. You can do that by going to the flighttest.com website and clicking the podcast icon and go to episode 29. Also, if you're planning on camping, please register there ahead of time, as we did not have a mechanism on the Kickstarter to pre-register you for camping. So if you can do that, that'd be great, so we can get the best headcount possible and plan for you the best we can. So in this episode, we also close it out with getting back to your voicemails, which I feel like we haven't done in a while. It's a great episode. There's also no sponsor for today's episode, so let's get right into it. Okay, so what are we talking about today? We're talking about stuff.
Lots of stuff. We got lots of voicemails.
We got lots of voicemails.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how the Keurig coffee maker broke.
It did not.
It did break.
It broke.
It broke. I want to make... That's why I'm drinking mug root beer.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. We have a major issue.
Guys.
We'll
have to get on the street and actually buy coffee.
It's Monday.
It's part of Josh's master plan to convert everybody to Mountain Dew.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that I randomly stopped and got coffee today.
Yeah, me too.
That's the good news.
This episode is sponsored. Can you get Mountain Dew sponsorship for us? I would totally build a plane out of Mountain Dew bottles.
You know, I would love for Mountain Dew to give me the time of day, but unfortunately...
I'll build a bomb around a Mountain Dew. They'll drop little Mountain Dew Kickstarters and... be powered for Mountain Dew.
I sent a letter to the CEO of Mountain Dew. I wrote it with a crayon.
Nice.
And
it didn't get anywhere, did it?
I said, love, Austin. And he didn't respond at all.
Did you tell him Josh Bixler is his biggest fan?
I did mention that.
Oh, boy. So when are we starting?
We're starting right now.
Nice.
I just have a random list of things to talk about. The first thing I have on my list is FT for schools.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and also, I'm going to rush this podcast to get to the voicemails because we've piled up 20
voicemails
that we have not listened to.
Well, and also, FT for schools is a good topic because we got to hustle because we got to go to a school.
Oh, that is a good point.
And I got to mute my phone.
I think that's me. Oh, no, that is you.
So what school are we going to?
Huh? What school? Let me
turn that phone off.
Let me silence this. There we go.
The podcast gods are angry.
There we go. That's my brother. He's actually going to help us at the school. He's probably wondering what time.
He's probably wondering what's happening to it. Do you need to call him back?
I'll call him back
in a
second.
We can pause this so it's not
awkward
for our listeners. Yeah, we'll note the time.
Or me and Austin can just keep talking.
Okay. we'll listen to Josh. Yeah. This could be entertaining.
So Josh Scott's business cards have been on this table.
Hey, brother Jim.
For over a year and a half now.
Just 500 business cards.
Oh,
my
no
question
problem.
Is,
what's up?
Is how is he getting people to contact him?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Business cards.
That's absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, there's you know, possibilities of thunderstorms, but as long as it's not storming on us, we're going to plan on going because it can change, you know, in a heartbeat. So, we're going to probably get there around 11:30, 11:45, and then we don't start till 12:30. Man, you rock. Thank you so much.
Can you hear everything?
Love you, bye. Could you hear that?
You could hear the phone really well.
That was kind of weird.
Wow. Okay.
But in a good way.
All right. Cool. Are we rolling again?
FT's for schools. What were you just talking about to your brother?
Oh, we're recording it?
Yeah, sure.
That is my wonderful older brother, and he is going to be helping us out with Alex and myself. We're going to do a fourth grade class. A lot of different schools use this at the end of the year as reward programs, but also to kind of wrap up, you know, a lot of kids learn about physics and science and, you know, fluids and all these different things. Well, we kind of can combine that in a fun way. And we actually do, for you guys, I think we're going to do a video on this. So is it okay to talk about it twice over? Or?
No, yeah, I think that it's actually really important to talk about it because, I mean, well, how many schools were we invited to this year?
I get a ton of emails, probably 3 to 5 a month, I'd say, of people who are just like, yeah, I'm in a school or a summer camp or some kind of organization like that, and they want to help kids build.
Yeah.
So they'll need like anywhere from 30 to 50 planes. Mm-hmm. And they normally want something like an FT Flyer, yeah, or a couple of them have done like the FT-22 because it makes a good chuck glider.
Yeah.
But we're working on setting up a program specifically for that. So if you have a group of kids, or you want to help grow the hobby and teach multiple people at once, it doesn't even necessarily have to be kids.
Yeah.
If you just want to,
they've gone up to high school groups.
Yeah, or even adults. If you just want to teach people the basic principles of how to build a plane and put it in the air, we're going to create a package that helps you do that. Even if it's just a package you could buy. We don't know the specifics yet, but say 10 FT Flyers at a time at a discounted price.
Well, and it doesn't change no matter what age you are. The fascination of taking raw materials and then defeating the law of gravity with those raw materials in the course of a couple hours, it's amazing. And what we're doing with this school this time is actually an end-of-the-year program. And all you guys that are part of flying clubs or flying groups, or if you have three buddies, what we do is very, very simple at these end-of-the-year things, and it's a great way to get involved with the community and have a very high impact. We are going to roll in, and we have one plane that's set up with FPV and a monitor. We have another plane that's set up with a buddy box, and then we have a flight simulator. And say we have, in this case, I think 24 kids. We're going to be entertained for about 2 hours. We divide those up into groups, and then each kid will get 5 minutes on the flight simulator, 5 minutes getting an FPV ride, which, by the way, doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but these kids love it, especially when you rolled upside down and they have the goggles on. The reason we have the monitors is so the rest of the kids can kind of get a perspective of what's going on too, but the real immersion comes when we put goggles on them. So we fly them around for 5 minutes, and then we put them over on the flight sim or on the buddy box for 5 minutes. So they get 15 minutes of constant attention, constant interaction, and it's turned. We've actually, with the flying ministry, since it's schools around my house, we've had a lot of fathers and sons come over to start doing this hobby together. So guys, if you want to impact a community, this is a great way to do it.
And not always fathers and sons.
I know, I say it all the time. I'm sorry.
It's what we need to do is...
Zap me every time I say it?
Is zap Josh every time he says it. I think we should switch to friends and family.
Friends and family.
People you care about. It could be mother-daughter or father-daughter. It could be father-figure friend or something.
But friends and family has a nice ring to it.
I like friends and family. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to try to do that because you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, my brother who I talked about or was talking to, who's helping us today, we fly together all the time. I mean, that was a big thing for us. So the reason I'm so hung up on is because the impact my dad had on me and also the fact that I have boys.
Right, which is perfectly fair. Yeah. But at the same time,
it's not right.
It's not right, man. Yeah. It's just not right.
Sorry. I'm gonna get the Swedish man shocker put on me pretty soon. So.
is what we should say is friends, family, and strangers.
Strangers, but because not strange strangers.
Not stranger danger.
Not stranger danger strangers.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Just plain old strangers.
Swedish man shocker has a weird ring to it.
Sounds like a metal band.
I'm really happy that things on the wall of memories. I did not like that episode.
It sounds like a crazy metal band.
I'm just happy I won that one. All right, but yeah, so we're going to be going to schools, and that's a fun thing. And around the end of the year, matter of fact, in August, we're going to be doing something for a whole city on Carnation Days in mid-August. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to do something very similar to this, but on a much larger scale.
So basically, the people that are still unclear on what exactly we're talking about, schools essentially have approached flight tests for a long time. We've gone to schools for, 3 years or so?
And I've been doing it for about six.
Well, for longer than flight test, I guess. And unfortunately, I think this is probably the only one that flight test is going to go to this year. But yeah. I think that's just simply because of the volume of requests. It's just not possible to meet the demand. So as what we're considering doing, or most likely are going to do, is we're going to make an episode that is geared around something that that schools can show to kids as kind of an online program for what we do live, which obviously won't have the interactivity, but that'll be up to the teacher to supply kind of the interactive portion. And then we can kind of bring the education and kind of set the template.
Our goal is not to show us doing it, but to equip other people to do it.
Yeah.
So
so basically to multiply this experience so that we don't have to go to a school just for kids to have this experience, but we can equip other people to give kids this experience.
And they'll probably do a lot better job than we do.
I imagine so, yeah. And really,
it doesn't matter, you know, who is giving the demonstration. I mean, for kids, this is a really, really cool thing. Yeah. And like Alex said, not even just for kids. I mean, it's a really unique experience.
Don't underestimate the impact that you can make just with, an hour and a half, 2 hours of your time impacting the community, because it really does do a lot of good.
And also, I mean, it grows the hobby, too, because, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of kids that without an experience like that, maybe it wouldn't occur to them that they were interested in, flying remote control planes.
One of the biggest things with Time Warner Cable, when we did that episode a long time ago that we just couldn't properly, show, was, these kids had never, taken raw materials and bent it and built something that flew. And, God gives us a great mind. And when they realize that they can take something, take their talents, and they can make something fly from materials that don't look like they should fly, it changes the way they think. And when they change the way they think, they look at every other problem they come up against, and they're like, you know what? I got this. I beat the laws of gravity with a dollar piece of foam board. I can take this. And it sounds kind of over-spiritual, but it's true.
Yeah.
And we've seen it time and time again. And, I think it's time to equip other people to – or at least try to equip other people, give them all the resources they need.
Yeah, and a lot of you already know, and we've mentioned it before, that this is a lot more powerful than just your average hobby. And whether or not you do it your whole life, getting a child into it early on in their life, it will affect them for the rest of their life, even if they don't do it forever. Even if it's like your daughter or something like that, it gives you an interesting skill set that you carry with for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so. Well said.
Yeah, that's great points. And I will the Time Warner episode you're talking about, Josh, that was an episode we shot where we kind of showed us working with kids and stuff and building airplanes. Was that you and Josh Scott?
Josh Scott, myself. And I think David was there, but I don't know how much he did with that. I think he was kind of behind the scenes.
Okay. I will link to that in the show notes so you guys can kind of see what we're talking about. And along this topic of FT for Schools, if you have a concrete thought of something you'd like to see in that episode or that program that we're thinking about rolling out, leave us a comment in the podcast article. We'd love to hear what you think about it, and we're definitely open to suggestions. Since this isn't something we've actually done yet.
Well, and on a side note too, this is one of the most powerful ways to take away. Everyone talking about FPV drones, privacy, danger. These things are unsafe. You answer all these things in a very positive way. You don't have to be defensive about it. You don't have to try to convince them. You just simply show them in a very fun way, and they suddenly see. No, it's not an invasion on privacy. No, it's not going to drop out of the sky and kill you. These are foam planes flying around with little cameras on them. It answers all these questions that oftentimes set up roadblocks to spread the hobby.
Yeah. And another reason we're thinking about doing this program is because when we go to a school and do something like this, this isn't really something that we can make an episode on just for privacy laws and that sort of thing. A lot of people don't, are... nervous and rightfully so about.
We don't want to put minors' faces on TV without permission.
So it's kind of more of a private type thing, and I think that's honestly cool. It's a cool part of it, I think. So
yeah, it's kind of neat.
Okay.
So we have a short time, and we're rambling on about one thing. So
exactly.
We better move on.
Well, I hope hope you guys have fun doing that today.
Yeah.
We also want to talk a little bit about goals for 2014 for flight test.
It's going to be an amazing year.
We got some we got some fun stuff coming up.
First off, Flight Fest.
Flight Fest 2014.
We were just talking about that, how, it's going to be amazing and also so overwhelming too.
Yes.
So we're definitely going to try to make this the best possible, just kickoff first year possible. But we definitely need some help.
One thing that I've been hearing is people that have missed the Kickstarter but would still like to register. Actually, today, before this podcast goes out, I'm going to have some sort of pre-registration set up, probably through Eventbrite, for people that did not get a chance to pre-register through the Kickstarter, but, have still taken vacation off and gotten their plane ticket and that sort of thing. So we definitely want to reassure you guys that, that the event is still open. We're not going to close the event, at least not yet.
Yeah, that brings the next question is, I know it's a big area, but there's only a certain amount of people that, before it's going to get too overwhelming. Have you talked to your dad since he owns the property? How many registered pilots you're thinking yet?
We don't have a specific number in mind at this point. Right now we are up to, I think, we're still under 300 pilots, which is an okay number at the moment.
Yeah.
But we're probably going to open up registration for a little bit longer. So if, you know, if you did take vacation off, you were planning on attend, please pre-register because there's a very good possibility we're going to close the event.
It'd be really, really good to get, you know, all the people pre-registered and not have any signups at the door. And I know that's inconvenient because, frankly, when we go to events, we sign up at the door.
Yeah.
It's just sadly due to the size. And, and we don't want to turn people away at the door and dishonor them that way.
And on the flip side, it's really, really exciting that we actually have that problem.
It's a good problem.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. And we'll definitely reevaluate. You know, we'll see how it goes on this property this year. We'll definitely reevaluate property for Flight Fest 2015.
Well, that opens up the next thing.
Actually,
before we change topics, that'd be a good thing for show notes if you get that online pre-registration.
That's a good point. So
look in the show notes and we'll link to that online pre-registration once Austin gets it set up.
And we'll leave that open for a little while. We also wanted to note that we were not wanting to do this. We were just for spectators. We were going to have like a donation bucket or something like that for people that wanted to donate to the event. But just because, especially even the local response to this, I think in order to just do the event properly, we're going to have to charge for spectators.
Well, that's also because, I mean, we've been blessed with a great amount of finances to do this.
Yeah.
But when you add in public, too, and the way it's grown word of mouth in this local community, the amenities can still be stressed, you know, financially. So, guys, you blessing us with all the finances that you've given through Kickstarter. It's going to be well-funded and well-used, and we quickly realized what a blessing it was because when we count in the public, when we count in all these other facets, we underestimated our first goal.
Yeah.
So this is huge, and I'm already dreaming about the FPV course.
Yeah.
That's going
to
be fun.
And next year, we have a feeling this is going to become an awesome thing to look forward to every year. Speaking of spectators, I know you said that we're going to charge, $5?
$5 per spectator, and that's for the whole weekend. So that'll get you a pass for every day for 3 days.
Or 4 days now.
So it's not much, but it helps us cover the extra amenities and that sort of thing needed for, you know, even an extra few hundred people really adds up.
Well, and this is where the wisdom of the viewers comes through, because I believe you had a lot of people when we made that comment on Kickstarter that we wanted to make it free to the public. They're like, you may want to rethink this. Have you thought about X, Y, and Z?
So. I actually had more than one person email me and say, are you sure that you want to do that? And that made me rethink it because I didn't really think it was going to be that big of a deal. Yeah. And I was like, well, maybe you're right.
Is there now that you said there may be a limit to registered pilots. Is there going to be a limit to spectators?
I mean, I don't think that we can turn spectators away.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really a feasible way to do that. But at some point, we will have to cap the pilots. And I don't know if we'll get to that point. We may not get to that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a possibility. And I just want to be forthcoming with people if that does happen.
My guess you're going to see what's trending. And then probably, like, when you're within 20% of where you're going to have to cap it, we'll do some announcement letting them know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have so many more slots. So it's not going to be suddenly like, oh, wow, we're getting too much and just cap it. We'll let people know when we're probably within a 20% threshold of where we got to stop.
And we really need to do another update video this week.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep everybody in the loop that doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
More of those details will be forthcoming.
Very cool. Alex, I see you looking at some amazing pictures on your iPad. So,
yeah. Speaking of finding a better place for Flight Fest next year, we've hinted at it a couple times before, but we are actually in the process of looking for a new location for Flight Test. Not only for headquarters, for us to do to shoot the show and also the store side of things, manufacturing, shipping, fulfillment, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we also want it to also create a new element of Flight Test, which is going to be like a destination location.
Yes.
Kind of like a place. There was kind of like Mac Hodge's place, I think, was kind of like that, but he shut down his hobby shop. We just want a place that, you know, say a father and son or mother and daughter.
Or friends and family. See, I got it. I'm so happy.
Nailed it.
I was waiting for you to say friends and family.
Say some friends and family want to get into the hobby but have never done anything, have no idea where to start, no mentors that can help them.
Yeah.
This will be a place that they can come to and get, it would be a one-stop shop. So they could even come, we don't know the specifics yet, but hopefully be able to come and spend a couple days there,
have camping available too,
get a full package of everything you need to get into the hobby and experience it the first time the way it should be experienced.
This is kind of ambitious. What we kind of want to do is redefine how people enter into the hobby. Right now what it is two people decide, or one person decides, I want to get in the hobby. They go to the local hobby shop. They could have an amazing experience or a horrible experience, but they go, they make a purchase, and then they go home. And then they're left to their own devices, and we love putting out video content for it, but how much cooler would it be is if they could walk through the door and someone's there to greet them and help them and understand exactly what they need and then guide them through every step. Everything they need is there. But instead of sending them home at that point, there's literally a build room. And this is where, like Seth and Joe and all, we absolutely love these build nights and these build opportunities, the memories, the interaction, the environment, the energy. We want to put that into this model. So instead of, you know, picking out your plan and going home, you can do that if you wish. But rather, we'd like to give you an opportunity for free to go back, have a building table, have all the resources you need. And then you go and you get to build your plane, but it wouldn't end there. At that point, you'd go to a beautiful open flying field, and there'd be someone available there to buddy box made in your airplane and actually teach you how to fly and give you some instruction. So even if it's 30 minutes of instruction, at the end of the day, you'd walk in, you'd pick out the right plane for you, get everything you need.
Get it set up properly.
Get it set up properly and get some stick time and instruction so you know what you've created is flyable. And, you know, obviously our swappables are really catered towards this, but it wouldn't have to be just swappables. It could be a lot of really great beginner airplanes.
It'd kind of be like experience a build, tune, fly firsthand.
Yeah.
And you are the one who gets to fly it.
Kind of be a buy, build, fly. But our goal is to reinvent how the hobby is done, because if you can have a good experience from the very beginning, if you can walk through the doors, and we call it a destination location on purpose. We want it to be a place where you could, you know, choose to drive a couple hours if you wanted and go to this event or go to this location and spend the day there. You know, have every opportunity to spend a whole day, so you don't just get a 30-minute experience of walking through a hobby shop, but you have 5 hours of memories where you walked in at the beginning of the day, you didn't have an airplane, you didn't have any experience, and at the end of the day, you've experienced all the joys that this hobby can find. And hopefully we've shielded a lot of the negatives, which is the frustration when you get home and you realize you got the wrong size collet for your motor, or you bought the wrong speed control,
or you just bought a crazy plane. That's what I did. I wish there was something like this when I first got into the hobby, because I would probably have a lot more planes in my arsenal, and also be a lot farther along in the hobby rather than just like kind of going backwards at first, because you go up, the first probably 3 or 4 planes I bought were out of my skill level, and granted I had a blast with them, but If I would have had the right teaching and coaching, I could have been a lot farther along in the hobby. That's what we're hoping to. Because you go to a hobby shop and they're, you know, not all hobby shops, at least the ones around here. If they do help you, they're going to say, yeah, that's great. If you're going to buy it, like, that's great. That's all they care about.
If you want to buy a fun jet that goes 110 miles an hour and you say, I've never bought an airplane before, but I want this, a bad hobby shop will be like, okay. Or they'll be like, you know, that's not a beginner, and you say, I really want it. Okay. You know, and they're just honoring the wishes, but what they're also doing is causing a big stumbling block in the hobby. Mm-hmm. And also, furthermore, this location is one thing we want to do is we just absolutely love getting to interact with the community. And they've brought us so far. They've done so much for us. They really are driving the boat. We want them to walk on this field and know that this is theirs.
We want to have our doors open all the time. And
yeah.
It's something we've actually been struggling really, really badly lately with is we get visitors. You guys are so great that you come to hang out with us, and we don't have the space or the resources.
We can't properly honor you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, and we have tons of stuff going on, and everything's crazy. And we love when people come by, and we just want to have a facility that will facilitate that.
And we don't want we don't want it to be pivotal around us. We want it to be pivotal around what you've created.
Yes.
So that's one of the big things. And also shooting content. We would love
to have... Shooting content. Yeah, there is some things on our end, too, that we need, one of which is shooting content. Right now, we're in the middle of downtown North Canton, right by the highway.
Yeah.
We moved in, and I guess we didn't really think it through, but we moved in and we shot a couple episodes because we do have a little bit of space to fly out back. Shot a couple episodes, and immediately there were people who pointed out that
the production value took a dump.
The audio quality was bad. The aerial shots aren't nearly as cool because it's in this rundown old city. It's not that bad, but from the sky, it looks kind of like
There's a junkyard next door.
And a big dirt pile.
That's growing every day.
It's just our backyard is pretty apparent that it's a converted driving range that isn't maintained.
So we only shot here for probably not even a month. And then ever since then, over a year, has gone by, and every time we need to shoot, we have to drive anywhere from a half hour to an hour to go to a location to shoot. So that's, you know, an hour to 2 hours of driving time,
a lot of logistical issues.
Hours of packing ups, unpacking, setting up, tearing down.
And I think that people miss out on a lot of great content that we would have otherwise because, you know, if in a different situation, if we could just walk out our back door and go shoot, I think people would see a lot of unique stuff that we really can't plan to do right now. You know, we got to go for four episodes and, you know, get them, you know, at this point.
Well, even more important, speaking of content, we want to shoot content with the community. I mean, it's fun to shoot with Alex and Josh Scott and whoever from this team is on, but we really would love to do some, like, once a month or once every 6 weeks, do some content where we have, like, a little mini fly-in, you know, and the community comes out, and we have, like, three or four episodes we plan, and it's not just them watching us. It's them being involved, and we can pull people from the community and actually put a transmitter in the hand and get them to, you know, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have impacted us in such a way. We want to make sure that we can turn this around to have you guys experience the great growth you've given us. I don't know how to properly say it. I hope I'm not saying it wrong, but reflect it properly.
Yeah, and one of the other main things, too, that we're struggling with is stuff on the store side of things.
Yeah.
Our manufacturing, production, and sales have reached a point where I think we grew out of this place a while ago.
Yeah.
But we're still here.
We're gutting our garage currently and storing our raw materials in a different location or getting ready to because we have more machinery coming.
Yes.
And we can't fit it in the building.
Yeah, we're running out of space, and it's because of you guys and all your support. Yeah. So this new location, our destination location, is going to serve a lot of different purposes.
Well, we had an amazing conversation. What was the gentleman from AMA?
Oh, yeah.
Mark Benson.
Mark Benson drove down from Indiana. We had a great conversation, but we were able to – drove up, I'm sorry. Or over, whatever,
over,
wherever he was.
Whatever.
But had an amazing conversation. One other thing, too, talking about schools, talking about hobbies – we would love the opportunity to take the format of builds and training and everything and make it repeatable. We've had a tremendous amount of success and opportunity through this. We would love to almost like train the trainers where people could come and if, say, a school group, like, you know, that one guy could come, we could train them to go on how to do a build night or how to do builds with kids and have a facility there. So we can have build nights, you know, where friends and family, see, I got it right, can come in and it can do the experience themselves, but also people can learn how to make it repeatable in their own area. And we want to really spread the hobby. The biggest goal is, my biggest goal is connecting with people through flight. We want to make that possible for other people to do it as easily as possible and successful as possible. So this destination location probably has like 20 different things that it could do, but that also means a lot of space, a lot of land. And it's a big dream, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. We're remaining optimistic.
Yeah, and good things are already, you know, a lot of really great doors are opening, too. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to properly be able to share with you guys, without jerking around your emotions, you know, what's coming through here. But you guys are making so much possible. Please, the faith you put in us, please stand strong, continue it, because it's producing so much fruit in our lives and many others.
I can give them one more hint of something great that's coming is we're working on a new website. Actually, not a new website, a website redesign. This is something we're really excited about. We've been working very hard, pretty much the majority of this year so far. We've been working on this. And we're feeling pretty good about it. I'm not going to say any hard dates because it is subject to change. But we're hoping within the next couple of weeks to roll out the new website. Is that safe to say, Austin?
Yeah, beta testing starts today.
Okay.
And so basically it's a matter of how the beta testing goes. But, I mean, like Alex said, it's not necessarily a new website. It's a new redesign.
It's a refaced website.
Just a reorganization kind of everything that we already have.
Trying to get everything in one stop.
Like, well, basically some of the changes, or they're not even necessarily changes, but things you'll notice is the website isn't going to be 100% article driven. The articles will have the same amount of presence. There'll be just as many articles, and you can access all of them just the same. But, for example, like when we release a new episode, it's not going to need an article for you to be able to watch it on our website. We're actually going to have a dedicated show page with sort options where you can if you want to start at the very beginning from the first episode and start watching our videos, you'll be able to do that all from flighttest.com.
If you want build videos only, you'll have all that.
Exactly. You can look at all only build videos. You're going to have specific pages dedicated towards resources such as free build plans. I get tons and tons of emails of people who are like, you're hiding the build plans from us. Like, I see how you guys work. The store is easy to find, but you can't find the build plans.
It breaks our heart.
And the store is not actually easy to find.
No, you gotta go through the website to get to the store.
Stuff like that. Free build plans, free build videos. There's going to be dedicated pages for other stuff like latest episode. You're always going to know when a new episode's out. So instead of going to YouTube to see if we've released an episode yet, you can go to flighttest.com.
Well, and this is the funniest. The flow used to be that someone would go to youtube.com and they would type in the flight test username. Then they would sort by date. You know, they go to our channel and sort by date and all that stuff. Then they would go to flighttest.com and then keyword search that just to find the video.
Yeah.
It's such a backwards thing.
Well, it's been a process, and a website of this magnitude isn't something that you can just create and have it work flawlessly. Yeah. So it's still going to have things that we are going to need to refine over the years. But it's taken a step in the right direction.
And a lot of that's been because of your suggestions. We've taken a lot of you guys offer your opinions freely, and we appreciate that. We want to continue to hear that because they're like, this is hard to navigate. How do I find this? How do I find that? And they also give advice on, you know, it'd be better if you did this.
Yeah.
And so we've taken that to heart. And Austin and Alex, you guys have done just amazing work.
Yeah, it's been a pretty overwhelming project. And we've also had the help of a lot of different people, especially Robert, who's been there. He's been working on the website since the beginning.
And I was gonna give a shout out to Robert Dumia. And a lot of people actually probably get emails from Robert, like when it's like something tech related and that sort of thing. Yeah. And not a whole lot of people know Robert or hear about Robert, but he's been a really big part in the website.
He's one of the most talented guys I know. He's extremely a huge part of Flight Test in more ways than just the website. Also the store, speaking of which, the store, we're switching our e-commerce provider. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, something like that.
You wonderful folks keep crashing it.
E-commerce, right now we're... I guess I can just be honest. We're using it's called Pinnacle Cart.
Yeah.
We're not happy with it. You notice that when you click on store, it actually takes you to a separate website, shop.flighttest.com. We're going to be moving to a new one, a new provider, which we're hoping is going to be a lot better. It's going to fix a lot of issues, like certain people, for some reason, their address just doesn't work. It says cannot compute, can't ship to this person. When we type it into like stamps.com or ship it manually, and it works fine. So if you're one of those people who have been having that problem, or if you had the infamous place order button not working problem, we're going to be... doing our best to eliminate all those problems in the near future.
And one of the biggest things, too, is inventory tracking. We had a tremendous amount of issues with inventory tracking, and it's humiliating when you guys want to support us and we run out of product that we could have ordered. But it's not tracking properly.
Yes.
So those things are combined with the fact that we need to get a more robust system. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
And again, that was all Robert who did the implementation of that and switching all the product listings and all that. So he's amazing. So
he's a wizard.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert. He'll probably never listen to this.
And a big part of the website is that the website has always been a very, very cool place.
Yeah.
And it's always been...
because that's where you guys are.
Yes, exactly. And because it's a lot of it is community-driven. I mean, I would say, 80-90% of the content on the site is user-created.
Yes.
And I think that's very special. But just like everything else around Flight Test, it grew very quickly. Yeah. And so there was a lot of kind of stitching things together just because it was, you know, the easiest way to do that. And so... we just kind of took a step back from the website and just said, okay, so what's some problems with it? It's hard to navigate.
Yes.
What's another problem with it is that we just want to make things easier to find, you know, and we want to make...
a little bit less overwhelming.
Because when you first go to the site and, you know, you're a new user or you're new to the hobby, we wanted the website to reflect values that Flight Test has, which is, you know, simple, you know, easy to understand, clear. And the website, even as cool as it was, wasn't really any of those things.
Well, just for some reason, hobby industry-related websites have a tendency to be very, what's the word, overwhelming,
cluttered,
yeah. But, you know, very functional, but not very well designed, or the user experience isn't always there. That's a lot of times forum-based, and actually a couple of the developers that we're working with, they said that that these types of sites are geared more towards what they call power users, which I thought was a funny term.
Mm-hmm.
But we want our site to be able to be used by anybody, somebody like Josh Bixler, which it's funny, actually, and that's 100% seriousness, because Josh wouldn't use our website.
He
spoke a lot to me, which is why I spoke up and said this is something that needed to change. So we're hoping to gear this towards everybody. And like I said, none of the functionality is going away. It's just going to be presented in a little bit more easy to understand way.
Well, and our goal is that people can come there and find things easier, then they're going to discover the amazing people. So that, like, the articles, the forum content, that's not going away. Absolutely.
The articles
not.
Just
we just want to make it easier to find and navigate.
The articles just keep getting better and better. And actually, speaking of which, give a shout out. I think the username on flighttest.com is RocketMan1092. I could have got the number wrong.
Sounds right.
RocketMan.
But anyways, he's the guy that made the awesome X-47B, I think that was. Mm-hmm.
I think it was a work of art.
It was absolutely amazing, and I'm pretty sure he's a student of some kind, a college student. But anyways, RocketMan1092, shoot me an email at support@flighttest.com. I have somebody who wants to get in contact with you from Northrop Grumman.
Yeah.
I don't know what they want. Hopefully they're not going to arrest you.
I think, honestly, that article was exceptional.
That article
is so much attention.
It's a true example of what we are looking for in articles. Not necessarily that magnitude of a project. Obviously, that was above and beyond anything that we've ever built here at the shop.
It was extremely well laid out.
But even if you were building an FT flyer, if you could structure your article like Rocket Man did, that's what we're looking for. Pictures, descriptions, talk about what you had, talk about the challenges you had, and then complete your story with a maiden flight, a successful maiden flight. And if your maiden flight isn't successful, maybe it's not ready for an article yet. Wait until you get that success and you finish your story.
And don't hide that content, though.
Exactly.
Show your failures and show what you learned.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just goes to show you what, you know, a brand new user putting an extremely thorough amount of time into an article.
Yeah.
You know, with lots of pictures, lots of text, you know, a build log, a video. He even has, like, graphs and stuff in there, which is awesome. But, like, right now he has just under 4,000 shares, 75 ratings, and 12,000 views. Like, that's some pretty crazy exposure.
That's more views than, like, our episodes get.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just goes to show you what, you know, the average author on Flight Test can do. Cool. And like Alex said, it doesn't have to be a project of that magnitude.
No.
You can do that good of an article on an FT flyer.
Yeah. Exactly. And one of the things, too, with this new website is we are going to be drawing more attention to what we're looking for in articles.
Mm-hmm.
We're not don't take this the wrong way. We're not blaming you guys for anything. It's our fault because we weren't clear on what we want in articles. Think of an article in like a magazine. It's a complete finished thought. If you want to discuss something, or if you have questions on how you should do something, or if you just want to share a picture or a video or an experience, or an FPV flight or something like that, that's more material that's geared more towards the forums. The forum is like an open discussion where you can just post a thought pretty much and then get response from other people. Whereas the articles is a complete. It's a complete story, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, and the really cool thing about that is when you have the forum content in the forums and the article content in the articles, your content and your contribution is going to be easiest to find, easiest to be used, most inspirational, most impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the reason why we're encouraging people to go there, not because we're snooty, you know?
Yes. And moving on to other things with this website, which I'm personally really excited about is we're not exactly sure what the page is going to be called yet. We're leaning towards Get Started. So when you see the new website and they're up on the nav bar, which we also have a nav bar now, which is awesome.
Which is new.
but on the nav bar, there's going to be a button called Get Started, and it's kind of like about, I guess you could say, but a little bit different. And the idea behind this page is that we wanted a place to send people who have never heard of flight test before. A lot of times people will see us out at the field, or like when we went to Black Sheep RC Flying Club on the way down to CEF, they had no idea.
Yeah.
And
it's very hard to describe what flight test is because you guys have made it so diverse.
Yes. And it doesn't get easier to try to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy. I mean, you can say it's a web show, but it is more than that. It's the community behind it obviously is the biggest part, but also podcast, the store, the web show,
the educational content.
Yeah. There's a ton of different moving parts when it comes to flight test.
And also why we do what we do. It's
exactly. Impact. And why we exist, flight test exists. And that's because of how unapproachable the hobby is, and how approachable we're able to make it just through dollar sheets of foam.
Yeah.
So that's the get started page. So keep an eye out for that. And when you, the idea behind this page is when you meet somebody, or if you're at a field flying something and somebody comes up to you and says, like, how much do you have in that multirotor? Or what do I need to do to get started with this airplane?
Yeah.
You can say, go to flighttest.com, click on get started, and it'll completely educate them not only on flight test, but also the hobby in general.
Yeah. And also give them all the resources and how to navigate the website, how to, here's this resource. If you're new, this will be good for you. If you want to build something, you want some free plans. And also with the free plans, one of our desires is, too, there's a lot of really great free plans by our community. We eventually want to make it a resource where someone wants to get some amazing free plans that are going to be repeatable, fly well, that there is a bank of that.
Yeah.
So that's our goal, to eventually have it where when you click on free plans, it's not just our plans, but hopefully it's a lot of others too.
Yeah, at first I think we're going to stick with our plans, and down the road we plan on incorporating so other people can submit plans. We'll have other great people like,
Flying Penguin, maybe.
Flying Penguin, Ultra Microbe, Philkin, some of those huge contributors that are out there who have come up with amazing designs. That are not only great but also different from flight test designs.
What amazes me is we have maybe 15 designs out. I know we probably done like 30 in the past, but there's tens and hundreds of thousands of designs out there that are phenomenal, but they're lost like in RC groups and a lot of other channels.
Yeah, somewhere in some random forum on the 350th page at the bottom.
And that's nothing against RC groups. It's just the fact they're so robust, and it goes back to the nature of RC content, how it's sometimes cluttered. We want to give them an avenue to go someplace where they can go through. Mm-hmm. And also, it'll be a great opportunity. I absolutely loved with Flying Penguin, that gentleman that made the Hellcat, the fact that we could actually fly it. It'd be really great to actually be able to do reviews on other people's designs. It's not just, we don't have to only build our designs and talk about our designs. We could talk about other great scratch builds too.
Yes. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah.
And really, it's just a process of kind of standardizing the plans a little bit, just so it's always a common language. And also, I would like to see them categorized by beginner, intermediate, advanced, and have those sortable. So hopefully that's something.
And they all don't have to be swappable.
Exactly. And so it'd be great to have those, we'll start with just having ours available in one center and maybe use that as a template to start including other people's.
Last thing on the website, and Austin, stop me if you don't want me to talk about this, but
I know where you're going.
One of the things that we want to hopefully do in the future is bring you guys more content.
Yes.
And this isn't going to be something that's going to be rolled out immediately with the new website. It's something down the road. But we're looking at doing an extra portion of flight test on the website eventually. Not in the next couple weeks, but down the road a bit. And that's because of you guys. You guys have said that you want more, We did the podcast. You guys still want more.
We want to give it to you.
And we're going to find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's off in the future a little bit. But just like, for example, when I chased Peter through the woods at CEF, I posted that video on my personal YouTube channel, and people somehow found it and started watching it, and they said, this is awesome. This is what I want to see. Post more. Subscribe. Yeah. Like, blah, blah, blah.
And we'll probably keep it vague outside of that. But no, I think it's all right to talk about it. But we do have something pretty cool cooking in the cauldron.
And the neatest thing with flight test, obviously, there's a lot of parts of the hobby that we can't cover, because if we tried to, we'd be posers. And that's why you don't see much heli content, much 3D content.
Because we can't fly.
We want to equip people to be able to go down and open that chapter and help them enter into that chapter. this what you're talking about is a great opportunity also to network with other people and get content with them. And I'm probably crossing the line now.
let's go ahead and keep a lid on it.
All right. But there's more. I want to tell them more.
Yes. Yeah. There is lots more, and we'll probably at some point there'll be a podcast just about that.
Cool. Okay. Sorry.
No. I think that was a great teaser.
Sorry, Austin.
And that's just to clarify. That's not a section of the site that's launching in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But the site itself will be launching, but there'll be a place for this special magical place that we're talking about.
I'm not an emotional person, but it was funny this weekend. I was sitting back and I was thinking all these things coming up in 2014, and it honestly got me misty because talking about destination locations, what you guys are doing with the website.
That's been one of your dreams for a long time.
Oh my gosh. Destination locations. Before even flight
like
testing.
10 years, yeah.
I honestly can't stress enough how much my dad impacted me when I was a young kid, and I didn't realize it at the time. But that impact, it doesn't, like you said, doesn't have to exist between a father and a son. But it changed my life, and it's the reason why I have an amazing relationship with my bride. When I say bride, by the way, I didn't just marry her yesterday. She's been my bride for 15 years. in 10 days, matter of fact, we'll be married 15 years.
Congrats.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's big time.
But
that is the big time.
It's those life lessons over something as simple as a model airplane that I learned during that time were the things that steered my heart. To go for the more positive things in life. And it's what's caused me to love family, love people, I love my Lord. It's really opened up a lot of doors. And I want that opportunity to be there for as many people. That's why oftentimes when I talk to people, I talk about making memories and connecting through flight. Flight's not my first passion, it's people. And I think I can say the same for all of you guys too here.
Sure.
Is this is our vehicle to connect with people, and it can be other people's vehicle. And that's why we want to make it so if you want to go into one aspect of the hobby, we're the resource to do it because we know great things lie behind it. All right, enough of me getting all emotional and sappy.
Well, on that note, do we want to get into some questions?
Yes.
Because we did promise we were going to get into some
questions.
We
got 20 questions.
That sounds like another game.
And I'm still salty about my coffee maker not working. So.
Well, I'm glad. I'm definitely glad I stopped for a couple of
I'm ready to take some of your guys's. Okay. Just realize that mug root beer doesn't have caffeine in it. It has no caffeine in the front. Why'd I even drink this?
That's a terrible choice.
What were we doing?
We're going to answer some questions.
Sounds good.
So let's see if this works here. I'm going to push the button.
Hello, Flight Test. This is Charles, and I live just up the road from you in Stowe, Ohio.
Oh, cool.
I have one suggestion, and I have one question. First of all, the suggestion is a little podcast production tip. I can tell you're using a Mac to play back these voicemails because I can hear the little pop, pop, pop sound whenever you're adjusting the volume. So a little tip is hold down the shift key when you adjust the volume, and then we won't hear those pop sounds anymore, and nobody will know your secrets. Anyway, my question is about goggles and fogging. At your suggestion, I just bought a pair of Attitude SD goggles from Fat Shark. I love them. It's my first FPV experience, but I can't enjoy it because the first time I put on the goggles, within seconds, everything fogs up. I can't see anything. It's miserable. So what are your suggestions? How do you get around the fogging problem? Thanks. You do great work. Bye.
All right.
Good question. That was awesome.
I don't want to start. This is another example of the community telling us how to do things better. You know what I mean? With what they want. So thank you, buddy. And did you change the volume just a second ago?
Just
this was the sound for those non-Mac users.
That's all right. Now hold down the shift. Let's see if it works.
I wish I had more hands.
Look at that.
Wow. Now we're stealth.
Thank you, brother.
That's a good tip.
I think this is only something I heard, and I should try it with one thing is letting your goggles acclimate to the environment around, and that's not just for 5 minutes, but that's like getting them out in the humidity for 45 minutes. You know, let everything get to that constant state of humidity.
Maybe like unzip the case, leave them in the case, and set them outside.
Do not put them into the light.
Right.
Don't do that.
And then also after you let them acclimate, that goes for anything. Actually, Dave Knopp, our camera guy, especially in the winter when it's like sub-zero temperatures, he'll actually set the camera outside in the freezing cold for a good 15-20 minutes.
Let the battery scream in agony.
And let it get used to being out there so it doesn't fog or anything when it goes from a nice heated inside to cold or vice versa. But then the other thing after you let it acclimate is let it acclimate it to being attached to your face.
On your head.
Yeah, so a good tip that I found is kind of put the goggles on backwards and then pull them up snug against the back of your neck.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets used to being up against your body temperature.
Hot, sweaty surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing, and I haven't tried it because it sounds kind of weird, because we do just lightly acclimate on our foreheads. Scuba divers use spittle on their goggles. In other words,
don't do that.
Don't spit on your.
If you're not sharing your goggles, you could use a little bit of spittle.
Don't listen to Bixler.
Come on, scuba divers do it. It's not creepy.
And we got to move on to the next question. I was going to say, Lightning. I can identify with Charles because Alex threw me up for my very first FPV flight in a Versa Wing, and my goggles did was fog.
If you had a little spittle on your glasses, you wouldn't have that problem.
I should have spit on Alex's goggles.
Airflow is another key thing, too. I haven't tried it yet, but I know some people will actually put some holes through that gasket material so it can breathe.
Ooh, that's a tip.
All right,
some things to try. There you go. Let's do Dave from Australia.
Hello, this is Dave from Australia. I have a few questions for you guys. First one is, are you ever going to make a giant FPV plane, like an FT-FPV? Second one, I was wondering if you could put airsoft guns on a multi-rotor. I know you did it on the Kraken, but I think a multi-rotor would be better. Thank you.
Good questions.
Yeah, good actually, idea.
Really good ideas. The funny
like you're thinking,
thing
Dave.
Is that airsoft gun I bought, the H-Quad was originally developed to carry an airsoft gun. That's the whole reason I designed it with those dimensions, was because it had a airsoft machine gun on top of it. That was right when the whole drone thing blew up with multi-rotors, and we kind of thought it wouldn't be the best timing, so we just did the episode on the H-Quad itself. But that actually was shooting. We were shooting pipe plates with it. It was a blast. I don't know if it's a good timing now, because one thing with an airplane shooting another airplane, it's not as divisive. To say it's shareable, it's inspirational, than shooting at people. So
how about paintball guns hitting ground targets?
I think that's going to be coming up rather soon.
That's the biggest biggest concern with airsoft guns is that there's not enough destruction.
Yeah,
so
we just need more destruction.
We do, and we're gonna have that now too. Yes. And also a fun new monster plane, if you guys check out, what is it, Vine? You may see a glimpse of it.
Actually, I think it was on Austin's Instagram.
Was it on your Instagrammy?
Just follow us on everything. And then
if you look, you shall find it.
Actually, in the podcast show notes, I do list all that stuff.
Do you?
Everywhere that you can follow anybody.
Wow, look at that. Okay. That's
big.
Well, what is your Instagram, though, so they can see the picture or video of the big giant?
Oh, at Austin Fury.
At Austin Fury.
Imagine that.
F-U-R-U-Y. Yeah, I know. Isn't that creative? Actually, I recently changed it because
I thought it was something different.
I had it like Austin J _ F, and I was like, wait, why am I not using my name? That's
weird. Okay. What's mine?
Flight Test JB.
Cool. Good to know.
And mine is at Zavada, Z as in zebra, V as in Victor, A-D-A.
Zavada. He has the coolest last name out of all of us.
I don't know. Fury's zebra. Pretty cool.
We'll go head-to-head. We'll put a poll up.
Whose name is the coolest?
Whose name is cooler? Well, of course, Bixler. Yeah. That's not bad. All right. Let's go to the next question.
Hi, Flightist. This is Giles from Belgium. I was wondering, how do you import files to the Phoenix RC Builder program? I have some 3D designs on Google SketchUp, and I would like to try them on the Phoenix simulator. Thanks for listening to my question. Bye.
That's a really good question.
Really, really good question. Yeah.
We all just looked at each other and shrugged.
Yeah, we unfortunately don't have, we've never had any experiences. We have Real Flight set up on our computer right now. I've also dabbled in Aerofly. I have used Phoenix. It works really well, but I've never gotten to the point where I was importing new models. However, that being said, I do remember seeing something. I believe it was on our forum, on Flight Test forums, of somebody that was importing FT planes. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was Phoenix, but I could be wrong. So that would be my recommendation. Check out the forums. If not our forum, then check out. There's got to be stuff out there on RC groups.
There's an amazing gentleman on our forums that's put out a lot of our swappables on a free download. I think it's called RC Desk Pilot.
Oh, yeah,
And I play with that all the time on mine, and I love it. It has a little awesome little baby blender in there that flies really close to the original. So, but you know what? And this is a good opportunity because you get a lot of questions like this too when in support questions. I want to let a little cat out of the bag, and I'm not meaning to sound snarky. We Google search a lot. We check our forums and we Google search and we search the web and we find that content a lot. So we encourage you guys to do the same. If we can't give you the answer. Yeah. Well, it sounds like, oh, just go to Google it, but it's a powerful tool, and a lot of people, they'll go to the community, ask that question, not get an answer, get discouraged. Google it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what you can find. And if you can't find that, you can find something close that'll lead you to it. the conversation.
Asking in the forums is also a good idea if you can't find any solid answers out there, because that's a very specific thing, obviously. So maybe by posting on the forums, you can find somebody else that's done it.
It's really, really cool.
Okay, moving on.
Hi, guys. I'm Rohit, 17 years old in Arizona. And I have bad news, is that even though I didn't meet you guys in person, I cannot at the moment jump on a plane and go to Ohio for Flight Fest. So I was wondering if you guys could go come here to Arizona. And this January, I think it's like 17th this year, there is a Arizona Electric fly-in. And it's really fun there because there's a lot of aspects of flight and you'd like it. So keep up the great work and let me know what you guys think about it. So,
bye. Hey, flight.
What an awesome young man.
We'll have to look into that. That's kinda Arizona Electric fly.
In the winter. I'm there.
Yeah, sounds nice.
You convinced us.
One thing we really want to do, we've been really, really loving the road trips to different events. Yes. And in the winter would be a great time to do that because I hate flying in snow now. I maybe some ski episodes and stuff like that, but then we're done. I want to hit the road this winter and go to some different events that are in warmer climates. So Arizona, I think, is warmer, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also
sounds warmer to me.
It's also been one of our top requests is West Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know if tour is the right word or just like come visit the West Coast.
Meet up or
specifically California, but Arizona's right there, so we might as well stop by. But
I think that'd be good. Maybe in the website we can have some kind of thing where if we do plan a road trip, we can plan a certain direction and then we can find out when certain dates are happening and collaborate with those dates and do some meetups and also get the fellowship with some great people that have blessed us a lot.
Kind of like a community-driven tour.
Yeah.
Tell us where we should go. That's a cool idea.
You guide the ship, you drive the RV.
We're pretty tied up the rest of this year as far as our travel schedule, but I would imagine we're going to start working on next year's travel schedule here.
Up until early winter. We're pretty booked.
And maybe something that in the future, near future, we'll add to the website is maybe like an events page people can see where we're going, what we're doing.
Yeah, we want to meet you guys.
Okay. Next question's from...
hold down the shift.
That was Skype.
Oh, never mind then.
Shush, Skype.
That was a weird noise.
Okay. Next,
that close?
Next question's from Graham. Maybe.
Hello, Flightists. This is Graham from California. I was wondering if you had any tricks or tips for finding a lost quad. I recently lost my TBS Discovery with the Tarot gimbal, GoPro, a bunch of other expensive stuff. Anything that would help is great. Thanks. Bye.
Unfortunately, I think all of our tips are going to have to do with before crash.
Beforehand. Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny? We were at a location the other day, and I lost the little blackout quad. And we were walking and walking and walking. It was a rather big location. And
you're not alone, Graham.
We
feel your pain.
It took my 8-year-old son here in the weeds to find it. But that was a huge amount of luck. Bright colors.
Bright colors. This probably won't help you because it sounds like you're pretty much after the fact now, but... shortly after it crashes, I know it's not good for the electronics, but if you can try to run it up a little bit to see if you can hear something, you might burn up an ESC or something, but
that's better than not finding it.
Yeah.
And get yourself, walk a little bit, get everything quiet in the opportune time and then, and then do it again. If you just hold it full throttle, you could burn everything up. And then actually that would probably catch it on fire and you would find it, but
I know they have beepers too, like little
beepers, GPS locators. I know this is all. Doesn't really help you too much now.
After the fact, yeah.
But also another good tip is if somebody sees it go down line of sight.
Especially two perspectives.
Have that person stay and make sure you walk in the right direction. Because a lot of times when you start walking towards the place that you thought it crashed.
You lose perspective.
You lose perspective and you get off track. And by the time you know it, you're way off course from where it went down. Having somebody stay back from your original vantage point to where it crashed, he can keep you safe. Keep going that way. It was farther out, or you're going too far to the right. Whatever.
Yeah. You can if it's a big multi rotor and you have some other buddies with FPV. It is kind of pretty overwhelming when you actually get a bird's eye view and you can look down. We found a lot of different planes just
that's actually down. Yeah, that's actually a really good way to do it. It's tough if it's like stuck in a tree or in the woods. But yeah, if you have somebody else has a multi-rotor with a downward facing camera, that's a good way to find stuff too.
This is after, but I've seen this technology getting cheaper and cheaper, those iPhone tags.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned it too, but I think Android has one too now. And I think they're like $20 and they're like a wafer. They're really small.
A little GPS tag, yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
It wouldn't add any weight either.
No, it's I don't think it's powered either, is it? It's like almost like an RF chip or something crazy. Yeah. I don't know the science behind it.
Alien technology.
Yeah. I knew it.
That's what you need.
Worth looking into.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah,
good luck, man. That's sad.
All right, next is Tyson.
Hey, guys. It's Tyson from Nebraska. I just want to say thanks for what you guys are doing. It's helped me out a lot, seeing how I'm out here in the sticks and had to learn through crashing and stuff like that with this hobby. I'm a former aircraft mechanic on the B-1 bomber, and I just thought that'd be a really cool build for maybe you guys to look into, and with the wing sweep and stuff like that, I just think it would be a very unique aircraft. Again, thanks for what you guys are doing. Bye.
Love it.
That's cool. That's awesome. Cool suggestion.
It's crazy that a guy who works on a B-1 enjoys our foam board designs.
Maybe a B-1 foam board design.
Yeah.
So that basically be like a modified, swept different Kraken, huh? Is it the B-1?
No, that's the B-2.
B-2, I'm sorry.
The B-1 is, it's a giant bomber. It has swept wings like the F-4, like an F-14.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, monstrous.
It has four giant engines in the back.
Oh, wow.
Jets, rockets, something.
Oh, so it has like the collapsible wing. And
I'll pull up a picture.
Oh, yeah, it does look like a Tomcat. Like a Tomcat with a traditional.
But it's I mean, I don't know exactly, but it's massive.
It's probably considerably bigger.
It's like five times bigger.
Oh, man, that is such a cool point. Even
though Tomcats are huge, too.
Yeah.
It's a picture of it breaking the sound barrier.
I know what you're talking about. It sweeps back with the when it's flying fast.
Do you know what makes for great podcasting is us looking at pictures of bombers?
Well, I saw one of those do a flyover at Oshkosh.
Nice.
That would be crazy.
That's beautiful.
It would be tough. It would be a tough build because it's so curvy, but we can look into it.
But it's cool.
It is cool. All right,
next question. That's cool.
Next question is from...
Give us a week or two.
Ryan Papp.
Hey, guys. It's Ryan, a.k.a. Crash Recovery. I want to send a very big thank you for doing these podcasts. I had to head home on kind of a last-minute trip to help take care of my parents with some things. But the 5.5-hour trip all the way from Delaware, Maryland area, all the way up to Connecticut, 5.5 hours, went by extremely fast because I was listening to the podcast. So once again, thank you very much, and I'll see you guys at Flight Fest.
I can't wait to shake your hand, brother, and thanks, thank you Ryan. For the kind
looking
words.
Looking forward to it.
He listens to podcasts how I listen to podcasts, binge listen. Yeah, that's what I do.
This is as much a blessing for us, too, because there's a lot of things we can't express or put into content, you know, on video. So we get to speak our hearts and get to connect with you guys in a different way. So this has been good for us, too, so thank you for that.
All right, well, I know you guys got to head out the door to go to the school thing, so let's listen to one more voicemail here.
Hey, Flight Test, it's Keith Brown from New Jersey.
Hey, Keith.
Fest approaches, I was just wondering, you guys mentioned something about camping, and, hey, can you just refresh our memory where to get all that information again? Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
I think that might be a replay. I think we listened to that one before. Or maybe, I don't know. I listened to all the voicemails.
I don't remember hearing that one, but I know we did talk about it earlier. Want to rehash it?
Yes. Actually, today on the podcast notes released with the podcast is going to be a link to pre-registration. This is pre-registration outside of the Kickstarter. So you can sign up to be a pilot and possibly for a limited time. We may close that.
Yeah. Not a threat. It's just we don't want to.
Yeah, not a threat at all. It just being upfront, that's a possibility. Yeah. You can also, there's also going to be an option to pre-register for camping. And we would appreciate if you would pre-register for that. That was not a part of the Kickstarter. So if you're planning on camping and aren't getting a hotel, or if you're not just a daily driver, We would appreciate you just registering ahead of time. That way we can have a heads up of who to prepare for.
It'll give us a good idea how much space for RVs, how much space for tents, things like that, right?
Yep. That's cool. That's all good stuff to put in there. So
yeah.
So anyway, check that out on the podcast notes. And you guys got to get to a school.
Also, yeah. Real quick, a lot of people are asking about reserving camping spaces. That's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so basically...
we don't have any hookups or anything, so don't worry.
Right. And also, pretty much every spot is equally as good as another. It's a very narrow strip of land, so like really nothing central.
It's all flat. It's all nice grass.
Yeah, it's all flat. It's all kind of equal.
There's no wetlands or anything.
Exactly, right. And it's not like it's like a wagon circle, you know, towards a central location, and everything's pretty much equal distance from everything. So
cool.
So yeah, first come, first serve. Just show up and pick your spot.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much. The things you blessed us with, the just where this is going. It's going to be an exciting 2014.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And I haven't plugged this in a while, so I'll plug this. If you guys can go to flighttest.com/iTunes, and if you enjoy the podcast, or if you don't, I guess, leave us a review and a rating. Give us your feedback. We do read that. I think we're almost to 300 ratings and reviews in iTunes. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Thanks.
So if any of you guys can help push us over 300, that'd be awesome. So, okay, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you guys.